Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Well, hello, everybody. This is John Michael. Do you ever feel like that there's not enough time in your day to pray? Guess what? You can pray the fullness of your faith with every breath. Hello, everybody. This is John Michael. All things are possible with God, even praying every day and praying without ceasing. Sounds impossible, doesn't it? It's not an impossible. There's a way to do it. You know, St. Paul says to pray without ceasing. Say that with me. Pray without ceasing. And if you read the early church fathers, there are all kinds of wonderful ways that they encourage people to pray without ceasing, to do it as an intuition or to send up occasional short prayers. St. Augustine was brilliant with that. But they look for something a little more after trying all these different things, being more or less successful. And one of the things they discovered was the one thing we do without ceasing is to breathe. Think about it. If you're not breathing, you'd be dead. You'd better have the person next to you call 911 because you're out. So they learned how to incorporate with every breath their relationship with Jesus and the fullness of faith. In the East, they call this the Jesus Prayer. It comes from two great saints in the 5th century, St. Hezekias the priest and St. Diodocus of Fotiki. He was a bishop up in Macedonia. And they said to unite the name and the person of Jesus with every breath you take. Wow. This is appropriate because the word for spirit in the Greek is pneuma. In Hebrew, it's ruah. So say the Greek one with me, pneuma. It's where we get air-powered tools. It's also where we get pneumonia if you can't breathe. And say the Hebrew one with me, ruah. I love that, ruah. It even sounds like air, wind, and breath, doesn't it? So they learned that they could incorporate the Spirit of God and the fullness of Jesus with every breath we take. We can breathe in the breath of God, the breath that anointed the Christos, Jesus, and we can become Christian with every breath. Now, they got a little more specific. As this thing began to spread, and it did, they began to put a formula together. And the formula is pretty simple. It goes like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Say that with me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Say it again. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And they learned how to incorporate that prayer with their breathing so that they breathed in with the first section of the prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, and they breathed out the second part of the prayer, have mercy on me, a sinner. Try that. Breathe in. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, breathe out, have mercy on me, a sinner. And what you discover if you do that for a good 20 minutes or so is that the words of the prayer actually coincide with the action of breathing. So the first part of the prayer is all that is good and beautiful and positive in our faith, and we breathe out anything that's standing between us and a full union with God through Christ, or a communion, a common union with each other through sin. So you breathe in all that is good, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, and you breathe out, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, let's take a little quick run through these words. I've written an entire book on it called The Jesus Prayer, and you might enjoy that. It's also in my Nothing is Impossible book, which is the whole series that I do on this and other things. But today, let's just look real quick at these words. The first word is Lord. Comes from the Greek, Kyrios. Say that with me. Kyrios, it's where we get the word Kyrie in our liturgy. And in the Hebrew, it comes from the Tetragrammaton, the four letters, the YHWH. We incorrectly say Yahweh, but that offends Orthodox Jews because those four letters are in the text to remind us that the Lord God, because the name is the reality in Hebrew thinking, and the reality is too much to grasp with our little human mind and therefore too much to say with our little human tongue. So they just put those four letters in there and they substituted other words. And when we wanted to translate the Bible into English, this happened with the Douay Rheims Bible in Catholic Christianity and with other English traditions and other forms of Christianity, for instance, the King James and so on and so forth. They were looking for the right word, and the word they found was hlathward. It's where we get the word Lord in modern English. In the Old English, hlathward was the feudal lord, and it means hlath, sounds like loaf, and ward, like warden. So the word Lord meant the keeper and the maker of the bread. Whew. So Jesus is the bread of life. But when we use the word Lord in that old school, because what happened? The people in this region, we would produce the wheat and we would bring it to the Lord of the region, and he would process the wheat and turn it into bread. And then he would distribute it back out to the people of his region, not equally, not mathematically, but humanly, according to the real human needs of the people in the region. What a cool word! Lord! Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Wow! See, we have to take the wheat, our natural gifts and talents. We have to give them to God, who will he'll cut the stalk of our life down. I don't want to be cut down. I'm an amber wave of grain. I'm beautiful. Don't touch me. Yeah, you are beautiful. God created you beautiful. But he wants to turn you into something better. So you have to cut the stalk down. You have to gather them together in community. That's called church, ecclesia, the gathering. And we thresh the wheat. We get the grain off the stalk. Then we get winnowed, huh? We throw the grain up into the air, and the wind of the Spirit blows through and separates the wheat from the chaff. And the wheat falls back down, the chaff gets blown away, then we get ground up, we have to be turned into flour. Then we get turned into what? Dough. So we take some water and salt and a little yeast, and we begin to work that. And at first it feels really good. We say, oh, Lord, go a little over here. I'm a little tight today over here. And he works us and he needs us. But then he begins to roll us. Do you ever feel a little cut down? Do you ever feel a little threshed in life? A little up in the air? Do you feel a little crushed? You feel a little rolled? Yeah, me too. But then he turns us into a loaf of bread. He puts us in a pan. We say, oh, I don't want to be in that shape. Well, guess what? We've lost our likeness. We still have the image, but we've lost our likeness to God. Therefore, that is reestablished through being conformed to the image of Christ, that pan. We get put into the, we find out what it is to be human again. Human again. By letting Jesus reconform us. Then we get put into the oven. It's hot as blazes in there. Life ever feel a little hot to you? Yeah, me too. Yeah. But if we let God have us, He will turn us into bread. Into bread. That's just the word Lord. We're going to go back through some of these other words too. And I promise you, each one of them is just as powerful. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life today.
Breathe in the Spirit of Christ, the life of Jesus. Breathe out all that's not like Him. Breathe out your sin. Of God, let go of your pride. Breathe out your old self. In Him, yourself, you'll find.
Welcome back. We are going through the Jesus Prayer so that we can pray with every breath. And we've taken a look at the word Lord. We're going to breeze through these next words, but they're powerful. Follow me now. The word Jesus means Jehovah saves. It comes from the Hebrew Yehoshua. Say that with me. Yehoshua. Is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your Savior? St. Bonaventure says we're like men and women who've fallen into a deep pit. And God's given us power so we have the power to start to crawl out and get out. So we have power. It's not like we're powerless. But we get right up to the top of that pit and we think we're about to get out. Boom! And we fall back down. We fall back down. Bonaventure says, it is only the hand of Jesus reaching to us that can pull us back out of that pit and save us, and bring us into the sunlight and the fresh air and the beautiful views again. See, the fact is that we have to reach back. We have to use our power to cooperate with grace, but it is His power that is pulling us out. So it is by grace, but we have to cooperate with grace, or we don't get out of the pit. Jesus dies on a cross for you and me. He comes into the world personally, for each one of us. If you were the only person to ever receive Him, He'd have come for you. He'd have done everything He did for you, for me. And He gives His life. Only soldiers, I think, understand this. When somebody gives their life to save the unit. Wow. Christ is the next word. Christos in Greek. Say that with me. Christos. And it means anointed. And the word anointed means to be repeatedly rubbed. It's where that anointing of the Spirit of God gets rubbed into us day in, day out, deeper with every motion. Oh, it's deep rubbing that changes us. And the test is, are we becoming more like Jesus every day? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, mildness, generosity, chastity, faith. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live now by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's lead. Christos, you and I are to be Christians like Christ. Son of God, it implies the love mystery of the Trinity, the love mystery of the Incarnation, the love mystery of His dying and rising for us, the continuing incarnation of the Logos in flesh, in you and me, the body of Christ, the church. The word church in Greek is ekklesia. Say that with me, ekklesia. It just means the gathering. That we are only complete when we are gathered together. When we try to be Lone Ranger Christians, I'm just a thumb out here all by myself. I can't get much done. I have to be attached to the rest of the body to do the work of God. And that incarnation continues, according to the early church fathers, in the Eucharist. We breathe out then, have mercy on me, a sinner. We let go of anything separating us from the fullness of that reality in Christ or from each other. We let it go through the cross of Christ. We just breathe it out. We don't hang on to it. We don't grasp it. We don't attach to our old self. We let it go. And now we're born again. Mercy means from the bowels, from deep within, deep within. I love what St. Augustine says. He says, late have I loved you, O Lord. You were in me, but I was not in you. He implies something that is so powerful. Think about this. How many of you ever wake up in the morning and you stumble into the bathroom and you look in the mirror and you go, I don't know who got up, but it ain't me. Do you ever feel a little out of sorts? We don't know why we do what the stuff I want to do, I don't do, and the stuff I don't want to do, I do. Yeah. See, sometimes we're separated from ourselves. But here's the deal. God knows us better than we know ourselves because He is closer to us than we are to ourselves. When we say, have mercy on me, we are asking through Christ to be in touch with that closeness, with that knowledge, so that we discover who we are again. Most of us have lost it. We've lost who we are. We settle for a version of ourselves that isn't fully us. And we get duped into it. And then we wonder why we're not happy. Have mercy on me. Be closer to me. How many of you have trouble forgiving yourselves? Anybody? You bet. Me too. See, Jesus can forgive us better than we can forgive ourselves because He understands us better than we understand ourselves because He is closer to us than we are to ourselves. The next word is on me. Have mercy on me. I sometimes joke with Catholic audiences. You know, I go up and I ask a Catholic guy, I say, you know, husband and wife, I say, are you a good Catholic, sir? And he goes, oh, yes. My wife goes to Mass every Sunday. See, sometimes we think that because our family's doing it, we're doing it. No. See, other people can help carry our burden. St. Paul says, bear one another's burdens. But then just a few verses down in his letter to the Galatians, he says, but everyone must bear their own burden. Nobody can be saved. Nobody can accept Jesus for you. It's something that you and I must do personally. No one can, our family can pray for us. They can storm heaven like Monica did for St. Augustine. Nobody can be saved for us. Have you given your life to Christ today? Have you experienced his mercy personally? The last word is a sinner. There's all kinds of words used for sin in the Greek New Testament. The most popular, most prevalent one is hamartia. Say that with me. Hamartia. Another word that's interesting is scandalon. But we're going to go with hamartia. It means to miss the mark, to get off the path. And it was used in Greek archery tournaments. You know, you'd shoot your arrow in the right direction, and it would fly down to the target, and it'd hit the target, but it would miss the bullseye. It would miss total balance, total perfection, and the spotter down on the far end would yell back, "Sin!" That's like you and me. See, we are created in God's image. Therefore, every human being seeks goodness and truth and beauty and love and justice. We're made for it. It's what we seek. But we miss the bullseye when we try to do it on our own, without his help, without his power, and without his mercy when we fail. This whole notion is kind of interesting. You know, in the Lutheran tradition, something Lutherans don't go along with anymore, by the way, but from the table talk of Martin Luther, which is apocryphal, it says that Martin Luther says that sin turns us into a pile of dung. He was trying to kind of grab that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. He wanted to grasp that. So he says, when we sin, our soul gets turned into a pile of dung. And the atonement of Jesus is like white snow that goes over the top of the pile of dung. And God the Father looks down from heaven and he says, "Oh, look, a pile of beautiful snow. But all you have to do is kick it." And whew, it sends up a stink, doesn't it? Problem with that is, while we might consider ourselves in Christ, we still consider ourselves a pile of dung. And if we consider ourselves a pile of dung, chances are we consider our brothers and sisters a pile of dung too, and that ain't good. St. Bonaventure says, more beautifully, I think, that the human soul is like a mirror created to reflect God's beautiful and wonderful image. Sin is like dust and dirt that begins to accumulate on the mirror. The dust obscures the sharpness of the reflected image of God. When it builds up, it begins to obscure the reflected image of God. But here's the good news, folks. Jesus does windows. Hallelujah. Jesus does windows. He can cleanse us off so that we can reflect the beautiful image of God again. And there's no sinner in the whole world, no matter how much dirt is on their mirror, who can't have that mirror cleansed off in Christ. That's the Jesus prayer. It's rich. Breathe in with me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, breathe out. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Breathe it in. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, breathe out. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Let every breath be a prayer. And don't so much pray as become a prayer through Christ. I love you guys. See you back here next time. Thank you. Sinful one, Lord.
when I stumble and fall. Compassion and mercy, have mercy, O God. Sing with me now. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinful one.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.